There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Monday. Live local talk over the next 2 hours. Glad you're along, and lots, of course, to talk about on today's show. Phone number, text line, keep this handy. You'll need it today, or if not today, sometime in the future, 343-0106. And if y'all aren't from around here, it's 251-343-0106. All right, on the show this afternoon coming up, Matt Murphy's going to check in from Birmingham. Of course, we're going to talk about Birmingham and get a clip from a press conference that came out from Birmingham Mayor Woodfin earlier this morning. Also, it may be, maybe we'll be talking to Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson later on this hour, and that's could happen maybe the next half hour or so. And then our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK that we set up this morning. Should Governor Ivey call in the Alabama National Guard for protest in the state of Alabama? 80% of y'all said yes, and the governor, well, I don't know if she listened. Here's the headline from AL.com. Governor Kay Ivey authorizes up to 1,000 National Guard troops to respond to violence. Mike Kaysen has a story over at AL.com, says Alabama Governor Kay Ivey said this morning that rioting that broke out in Birmingham Sunday night at a protest over the death of George Floyd could not be tolerated. The governor said she authorized Adjutant General Cheryl Gordon with the Alabama National Guard to activate up to 1,000 guardsmen if needed to respond to violence. A quote here from, it says, while there's no immediate need for us to deploy our guard, I have given authorization to Adjutant General Cheryl Gordon to be on standby should local and state enforcement need additional support. The Alabama National Guard stands ready to assist when peaceful protests become violent and dangerous to our public safety. I will always support the right of the people in Alabama to peacefully... Okay, there we go. So there's. So now I guess it's on high-pressure standby to get the National Guard. They're not called in yet, but they're approaching the batter's box on this. And this was the question. You've got 17 states right now that have brought in the National Guard. Is it something that will be done in Alabama? Maybe not in every city, but... What about Birmingham? And that is the big question. What about Birmingham? Let's do this. We got a little clip here from Mayor Randall Woodfin's presser from earlier this morning talking about the situation last night in Birmingham and a curfew that goes into effect tonight in Birmingham.
As I said, what started as a productive, peaceful demonstration took a turn. Now, we spoken with many small business owners in our historic district who've had windows smashed and items looted. We've spoken with members of the media who were assaulted by mobs. And we've talked to so many residents who are as heartbroken and hurt as I am, as all of us are. Birmingham, this is not us. This is not who we are. This is not how we taught the world how to protest. Violence, looting, and chaos is not the road to reform. And anybody that's doing the looting, anybody that's breaking things just because, anybody that's setting fires just because, I want to make this very clear to you. You're not doing that in the name of reform or George Floyd. You're on a different agenda that the city of Birmingham will not tolerate. And I want to make this clear. You don't get a second chance at it. That means no more parades, no vigils, no more demonstrations. Travel on public streets and roadways will be restricted, with the exceptions of medical service, food, or other essential needs. Exceptions will be made for essential workers. I want to make this very clear to you, especially for those who work downtown, and if you have to work after 7. I advise you to engage your employer, and I advise the employers, please provide some type of form or document for your employees to show to police officers. We are not playing, and we're going to enforce the law. We will be sending the media the emergency curfew proclamation, as Rick has stated, and posting the curfew on other city channels. We've been in contact with and appreciate offers of support from the Alabama Law Enforcement Secretary, Hal Taylor, and will be requesting law enforcement support tonight from ALEA. I'll take a moment to let the police and fire and rescue provide more details about happenings of last night. But I want to offer you this. Many of us saw images. One image we can support, and that is the peaceful protester. The peaceful protesters are the ones that requested permits. They work with our Birmingham police office. They told us the route and where they would be. They told us how long they would be there, and they requested police assistance. And our police work with them in passing out facial covers, passing out waters, walking with them in solidarity in their efforts, because we in Birmingham police, like you, are outraged about what happened last Monday to George Floyd. But I want to talk about two other groups. There are looters. A lot of these looters are local, our residents, born here in this city just like I was, live here in this city just like I do. You know who you are. You took advantage of a situation, going out, breaking into stores, attempting to take things outside of the inner city. I'm sorry, outside of the actual central business district. Then there's a third group. The anarchists. The people who come into our city to destroy. Not to take anything, simply to destroy. To break things, to set things on fire. The city of Birmingham and the Birmingham Police Department 100% supports the peaceful protesters. We outright reject the looters and the anarchists, and we will happily arrest you. We will be aggressive in bringing them to justice and restoring our city. And so I want to make this clear. To the people that live in this city who are out in our streets, you have a duty just like the Birmingham Police Department. And with your smartphones and your cameras and your videos, you took pictures, you videoed things last night. You saw innocent people in the media get physically assaulted and didn't do anything. You saw your own community destroyed and did not do anything. And I want you to know you can make that better. Crime Stoppers, 205-254-7777. Again, the Crime Stoppers number is 205-254-7777.
Right. A little bit of the pressure from, probably more than half of the pressure from Mayor Randall Woodfin there in Birmingham, who went on to take a lot of questions. But curfew in effect in Birmingham. And we'll check in with Matt Murphy from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham coming up in just a couple minutes to get his take on what happened last night in Birmingham. Of course, the assault on the journalist and the questions surrounding what happens tonight in the Magic City.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. And good to talk to Matt Murphy from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Matt and Ani's show, weekday mornings, when I do that morning show thing I do as well. They're all at the same time, so we don't get to visit as much, but good to get him on the Midday Show today. Thanks for your time, and give us the report here. I just got done playing a little bit of Mayor Woodfin's speech this morning, reaction around Birmingham, as last night was, I called it a riot. Do you call it a riot?
I think it certainly did devolve into a riot, and thanks for having me on, Sean. It's good to try to inform the folks down in Mobile exactly as to what's going on in the city of Birmingham. Yes, absolutely. Any of the peaceful nature of some of the protests that were occurring in Lynn Park quickly devolved into a protest of spray painting and attempting to topple down statues in Lynn Park. And as that was going on, that eventually devolved into breaking of windows, looting downtown storefronts, and out-and-out rioting. Yes.
Okay, so we had the riots, and Lynn Park, to remind folks down here, that we've talked about that in the past, the site of Confederate Monument, right? The one that had the plywood around it?
Right. There's a number of monuments in that park, a number of which have now been destroyed. There's a monument to Charles Lynn himself, which is one of the founding fathers of the city of Birmingham. And there are other statues. Thomas Jefferson's statue was burned last night, and there was an attempt to take down the obelisk that was placed there in memory of the Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. So there's a number of monuments there, many of which have nothing to do with the Civil War or slavery or, you know, any of that. And a lot of those monuments were defaced last evening as well. And there was an attempt to bring down the Confederate monument, which ended in failure.
So it goes from there at Lynn Park to the probably Central Business District, or describe kind of distances for folks down here from Lynn Park to where we saw the windows broken out and the attacks on members of the media.
Right. I mean, like many cities across the state of Alabama, and Birmingham's just a little bit bigger, you know, you've got that centralized downtown area. It's got the city building on one side of the park and the county courthouse on the other side of the park. And you have to go a few blocks before you get to any business district. The BJCC, our convention center, is just across the interstate there too. And you know what these looters, rioters, and protesters were doing, they were branching out from Lynn Park and seemingly at random attacking various stores and business fronts. You know, all it would take from the Facebook Live video that I saw last night, I was not on the scene, but from all of the video that I saw last evening, is just one little trigger or spark would set off an explosion of violence toward property, and then it would move on down another block or two.
Where at this point, the Birmingham Police Department, were they mirroring those crowds as they dispersed? Were they already in the business area? Were they at the park? Where, kind of lay that out, because there's a question about whether they were given a stand down order or not.
All right, and we're not getting a lot of answers regarding that, and it's something that we'll be on top of on Talk 99.5, Sean, as to whether or not the mayor told the police to stand down, told the police chief to stand down. They're denying that there was any sort of stand down. Okay. They did, they were asked to and did tread lightly early on in the evening. As the evening went on and things got more violent, you saw more presence, but that's what you saw, presence. There was not an engagement. Eventually, the Birmingham police responded late in the evening in riot gear, and that's when they began the process of trying to disperse individuals and get them off the streets. Pretty soon after that, the mayor came out over the course of the night and announced a curfew for tonight and into the foreseeable future for 7 o'clock.
How many people? The question is, even down here, how many are outsiders coming in and being part of this? You hear those claims. What are you hearing in Birmingham where when you see the people that attack the reporters or something like that? Are you hearing that those are locals or those outsiders? What's the word?
No, well, don't know. Now, those that organized the protest, you know, there's a comedian, Funny Maine, he's known on social media. He was organizing a protest called for the removal of the Confederate monument. He claims, and many others claim, that they weren't a part of any of the violence, and that erupted from what they referred to as outside agitators coming into the city to try to explode the tinderbox. So I don't know. The short answer, Sean, I don't know. I don't know if it were did the organizers allow this to happen under their watch, or did it get out of their control based on people coming in from the outside? Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen. One would wonder why citizens in Birmingham would burn down their own communities and burn down businesses owned by fellow minorities within the city.
Yeah, trying to figure that out. And also from the media aspect, I mean, it seems counterintuitive that local folks that wanted their protest to be noticed, people pay attention to it. Here's the media reporting on it, bringing that story to everybody else, and they would be attacked? I mean, hit with a bottle over the head, jumped, you know, by a bunch of... I mean, that just seems so strange to me that that's something that would benefit if you're trying to bring attention to this. How does that help?
Well, and frankly, and I haven't heard anyone talking about this morning, Sean, or this afternoon yet, but there seemed to be a racial component to the initial attack on those reporters. The videos that I saw, it seemed to me that the individual that initiated the attack targeted the AL.com reporter Madison Underwood and the ABC 3340 reporter, television station here in town, specifically because maybe they did not know that they were reporters at the time they attacked them, but it looked to me as if they attacked them because of the race of the individual reporters. They were white reporters, and it was a black assailant. So, it's amazing to me that if you are legitimately trying to get your story out, that you would attack those that are trying to tell it.
I mean, because you had to think about it. Newsrooms, I know there's going to be some Mavericks and some Icemans out there that say, throw me in there tonight. But there are going to be a lot of reporters that have family and children at home say, yeah, can I work the desk tonight? Can I just stay here at the station?
Well, it's been a long standing conversation that I've had with many of my colleagues here who've worked in television news, that even in the most volatile of situations, that if you show up in a news truck and you show up with a camera, that you are going to be left alone because it is recognized that you are attempting to get the messaging out as to whatever the individuals are trying to say. I mean, and that's out the window now. I mean, I don't think the reporters can be guaranteed their safety. I don't think the citizens of Birmingham or Alabama, frankly, at this point, can be guaranteed that they can go outside safely at night until the governor and the local municipalities get a handle on this and show a little strength of force and push back on some of the rioters, if not the protesters generally.
Yeah, let's talk about that show of force, because you're the call for the curfew tonight. Am I right? Is it 7? Is it 6 or 7?
7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock. I mean, so that is not, you know, sometimes there's curfews that are put in, and you're going, okay, well, by that time of night, people are all up to no good at that. But we're talking about 7 o'clock at night. The biggest city in Alabama shut down as of 7 o'clock tonight. People aren't even home from work sometimes by 7.
Well, that's right, and you're going to have to show or demonstrate a legitimate reason to be on the street. Woodfin, say what you will about the beginning of all of this and the soft touch that he tried to place on the city, considering what happened last night, that's been replaced with a stern fist. 7 p.m., and he was joined, as you well know, by the police chief, Patrick Smith, who indicated that they were going to vigorously enforce it to try to prevent what happened last night from happening again. And I would predict, Sean, that this may be moving from the city of Birmingham proper to some of the suburb communities, and that's the fear in some of those communities, places like Hoover, that's had its share of racial unrest over the past 18 months.
Yeah, think about the mall there. It's still right. The Galleria, right?
That's right, yeah. And as people might remember, there was a shooting inside the Galleria a couple of Thanksgivings ago that led to a lot of protests within Hoover, and so there's a fear that those protests might return.
All right, so it sounds like Governor Ivey has a National Guard on high-pressure standby right now. What does it mean, do you think, tonight, Birmingham, if people did not respect that curfew in Birmingham proper, or there's a crush of people in a Hoover or somewhere else, do you think the National Guard gets called in?
I would think that you would call the National Guard in, if nothing else, as a backup to the city of Birmingham. I mean, the Birmingham police force is strong. I think there's probably 750, 800 members of that police force. So they will be out in mass, too. And, you know, one would hope to protect the safety of the citizens that anyone violating the curfew with an intent to cause a disruption would be immediately arrested. I think you would need the National Guard as a backup if you start initiating that sort of wholesale action.
Yeah, that's Jeff Sessions was on this morning talking about that, calling for it all over the country, and yeah, he thought it would be for you know, all cities out there to call it up. I don't know. I don't know if you do it as a deterrent or you come in, you know, just put them in place in beforehand or bring them in if things get out of control. Because some people say, well, you know, you're ratcheting it up. If you put the National Guard out there, you're ratcheting up the situation. I don't agree with that. But
well, no, obviously you've got to have some sense of stand down right now, and you've got to show that sense of strength right now if you are the leadership in Birmingham or more broadly in the state of Alabama. To demonstrate the words of Randall Woodfin, this is not who we are. I don't think it is who we are in the state of Alabama. We value protest, but we also value it peacefully. I do think there's a lot of outside agitation going on. So, you know, it remains to be seen what goes down tonight, Sean. Right, your guess is as good as mine.
All right, we'll be watching it and check back in with you. Matt, people want to follow you online. How do they do it?
At Matt Murphy Show is my Twitter handle, which is how I engage mostly in social media, talk995.com, otherwise.
Thank you, man. Tell Ani I said hi.
Thank you. I will.
Yes, Matt Murphy checking in from Birmingham, and we're coming right back. What about Mobile? Are we up for a curfew here like Birmingham? Talk about that with you when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We got a pandemic, a recession, high unemployment, massive civil unrest, hurricane season, and now billboards everywhere talking about syphilis. Enough of the Alabama syphilis billboards. My gosh. All right, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Hey, my name is Sean. Phone number here at the studio, 343-0106. Also works on the text line. Michael on the text line, thank you for the update. He said, two-car wreck on the causeway westbound near the tunnel entrance. So, two-car wreck, causeway westbound near the tunnel entrance, left lane closed, traffic is backed up. So, take that into account. It's a rare thing. Am I about to say that? Am I about to say, get on the bayway if possible? Okay, I just said it. Get up. So no causeway. Get on the bayway if possible. Also from the text line, question about bringing in the National Guard, which we'll go back to the poll question in a second. But Anderson says always better safe than sorry. Tim has said, if you're paying for police and sheriff protection and they've been told to stand down, what are you supposed to do? Can't just let people tear up everything you raked and scraped and worked for if you're a business owner. Absolutely true. I'll say this, that is not confirmed whether there was a stand down order or not in Birmingham, but if you listen to the speech from Mayor Woodfin today, I think it was without question that it will not be tolerated. I mean, it was, and then the police chief came on right after, and actually fire chief came on as well, because Lord knows they're involved in it as well, having to deal with it. And I mean, all three men were like, there wasn't even any wiggle in it. It was, curfew is 7 o'clock. This will not be tolerated. We will arrest you. They said something to the effect of, you know, we've been trying not to arrest people for this, that, or the other, but we will arrest you. Like, no question. So we'll see if that gets challenged in Birmingham tonight and what the response will be, or if, like Matt Murphy from up in Birmingham just told us, that those groups that were in Birmingham last night will then move to some suburb there that doesn't have the same curfew. Don't you know there's suburbs working for putting together something for a curfew right now? All right, phone number 343-0106. Sam is in Robertsdale and up first. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, or good day. Does Mobile have plans for a curfew, being that they had to shoot tear gas after so many years? Are they prepared today? Because I would be willing to bet money on it, if I was a gambling man, that they would probably start back up again this evening.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think they're having...
I think they... it's like cat and mouse. I think they get aroused at the cops, antagonizing the cops and seeing if the cops can arrest them. It's a game. And I believe that if I was the governor, she ought to have National Guard already mobilized and the chief of police in Mobile Birmingham, Montgomery, Hoover, they ought to be stationary. If they're even, if it isn't, but a couple of hundred here, a couple of hundred there, a couple of hundred there. Get ahead of the game before these people take over this country. And that's exactly what's happening. If y'all come on out here to suburbs in Baldwin County, we'll show y'all what's going on. Y'all have a good day.
There is Sam. Here's what I can do, Sam. I was been trying, and it was looked like it was going to happen to have, I won't even name high-ranking city officials, but they were supposed to be on. They have gone into a meeting. I guess I can say this a bit. They're not on this show right now because they're in a meeting. So they the names you would know. What's going on in that meeting, I'm not privy to. But the timing of it, and I think there'll be a presser this afternoon. I don't know when. I have absolutely, you know, and it takes me a long time to text out long messages here on the telephone. I've been texting back and forth with those folks. They are in a meeting. They're in a meeting. So next hour, maybe after that, they come out of the meeting and we get some more information. But, yeah, you got to ask this question. Birmingham's put in the curfew tonight. And, y'all, this is not a, like a, you know, sometimes there's curfews that, and you could argue, I argue against curfews most of the time, but a lot of times will be set like at 10 at night, something like that, later, you know, 10 at night till 5 in the morning kind of thing. Birmingham's is set, it isn't dark yet. I gotta tell you, there's a lot of folks, you know, that aren't home from work that a lot of people by 7 o'clock, and they're setting this at 7 o'clock. Was this, I'm sorry, corrected a text earlier. I said, not the causeway, but it's on the bayway. Okay. Oh. Trying to get first text said that it was a two-car wreck on the causeway westbound before the tunnel. Now, a couple of texters have said it's not the causeway. It's on the bayway. Just came. So now let me flip that around. Let me say my normal thing. Take the causeway. Don't take the bayway. Oh, people ask about National Guard stuff. What do I know? I know this. So personal side of it. So I know my buddy's unit got called up. I know that. So I found that. I know that factually, as Governor Ivey has said, she's given the authorization. See, Governor Ivey had a comment this morning, said, while there's no immediate need for us to deploy our guard, I have given authorization to Adjutant General Cheryl Gordon to be on standby should our local and state law enforcement need additional support. Okay. So they're on standby, and I know that specifically a friend of mine, his unit just got called up. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I don't know. I mean, I probably don't want to telegraph too much of what they're doing out there. John's in Daphne up next. Hey, John.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
I'm making it, man. How about you?
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Well, anyway, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Stand Your Ground doctrine and how it would be applied to, I don't know if you've seen the videos of officers using the paintball guns with the tear gas or whatever.
Those pepper, I think they're calling them pepper balls.
Yeah. For shooting people standing in their front yard. So how would the Stand Your Ground doctrine apply to a situation like that?
I don't know. Were they shooting people in their front yard?
Once I pull over, I'll be happy to forward you some videos.
Please do.
To yourself. It's the National Guard going. It almost looks like a movie scene. With the National Guard going through neighborhoods, in this case suburban neighborhoods, but yelling to people to get in their home, and when one woman doesn't get in the house quick enough, they unleash paintballs on her for standing in her front yard.
Where is that? Is that up in Minnesota, or where was that?
I believe so. There's not enough detail on the video, unfortunately, so the video I'll send, take with a grain of salt.
Right.
But I do believe it to be true only because of the timing of it all.
Absolutely send it to me, and we'll look through it. I have not seen it yet, but I'm interested in looking at it.
But anyway, everything, assuming it was true, what would be your thoughts on Stand Your Ground doctrine as how it applied to that situation?
Yeah, interesting. So I want to make sure that I know the law, but my gut check is if I'm on my property and I'm not actively breaking it, so they're not going to arrest me, right? I mean, because if I do something illegal in my front yard, they still can come in my yard and arrest me. But if I'm not doing anything illegal,
and they open fire on you,
non-lethal though, you know,
not lethal.
So
Stand Your Ground doctrine means you're allowed to return fire with paintballs.
I Man, I don't want to comment. It's something that I don't know.
Fair enough.
It's worth checking into. Send me the video. Let me look at this.
I'll send it to you as soon as I can.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dan in Fairhope next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, I just listened to the Funny Man video. He said something that that piqued my interest about the Constitution being written by white, rich, elitist men to hold down black people and poor white people, et cetera. And I'll admit I've never read it, but I always heard that rather than complaining about something, provide a solution. Have you ever read it? And what could be in there that would alter? I just don't understand how a constitution could be written to benefit one group of people more than another.
Well, I'll say this. I have read it. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm just that fun. I've read it a couple times. But in that, you could argue that before the amendments, right, that it was. I mean, because, I mean, think about the fact that we were, slavery was legal, women didn't have the right to vote, those kind of things. But as it stands now, I don't see anything that gives. I mean, that's why being a constitutional nerd, like I try to be, is good, because it's fair treatment under the law. The Constitution doesn't do that. Now, do individuals rule certain ways? Do they put a finger on the scale? Yes, they do. But the Constitution has no bias as it is now, at least the way I see it.
Well, I would. So, and that's what I challenged him, you know, whether he reads it or not in his comments, was to do that. You know, come up with a solution, rewrite, you know, send in some amendments to the legislature and maybe... Let us know what your thoughts are and what you would change if you could. If you're, rather than going out inciting violence and burning down a city and tearing down statues, tell me what you would rather see, how you would like to see it change. Because I think we live in a much better world than we did 200 years ago.
Agreed. Agreed, Dan. Well said. Appreciate it, man. All right, coming right back. We'll come right back to the phones at 343-0106. 343-0106. Yet no word yet of any kind of curfew or anything like that for Mobile. That's Birmingham. The question is, will Mobile institute something the same way? Would you agree with that? Seems like a lot of people, too, that want Governor Ivey not just to have National Guard on standby, but want to have the National Guard assembled across the state. What do you think? Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Sad news there. Both men in that picture that hangs just to the right side of my desk back here in the back of the station are now dead. As news coming out, Pat Dye, dying at 80 years old, head coach Auburn. Football from 1981 through 1992, died today at age 80. He'd been hospitalized in recent weeks for complications regarding his kidney functions. The coach had also tested positive for COVID-19. We'll have more details on this story coming up, but Pat Dye passing away at age 80. Yeah, I've got that picture, you know, with a very young Pat Dye sitting there with Coach Bryant at that table at a hunting camp in West Central Alabama. And, Now both men in that picture have passed away. And thank you, those who have sent me the links now, and I've seen that video it looks like that is out of the Minneapolis area. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few. To the phones, and Shirley is in Mobile up first. Hey, Shirley.
Hi, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm a survivor of the riots in Detroit back in 1967. They were, exactly what's going on now, only 10 times worse. I just couldn't believe that they looted every store and burned it down. There were a lot of women that had little children that couldn't get to the welfare office. They couldn't get groceries. It was really terrible. And I want to tell everybody, this is not going to end tomorrow or the next day. We had the National Guard in there. They patrolled on tanks. Tanks were running up and down of our street.
Wow.
It was in that way, it was kind of comical. We did have a curfew. But the one thing that I think did help end a lot of it was that instead of tear gas, they used fire hoses. And people scatter real fast when they get hit with the water from a fire hose.
Yeah, our state has a bad history on that. I doubt they'll break out the fire hoses anytime soon here, just for the symbolism.
Well, I think it's better than that. But anyway,
that was '68. So that, and it wasn't just Detroit, right? There were a handful of cities. A long hot summer, I think they called it.
I think there were some others, but this started in Detroit with a, I think it was a white bartender who shot a black youth, and I don't even remember the details of it, but it was really terrible.
Shirley, I appreciate that. But you think this is worse or not as bad as that yet?
I don't. It hasn't gotten that bad yet.
Okay. Thank you for thanks for putting that in the context, because I know that that's, I've talked to folks a little bit older than I am who have told me that, that they're kind of comparing it with 68. You heard Jeff Sessions talk about it this morning as well. Let's see here. A lot more people. I have seen the video. I've watched the video now. Thank you. Those, I mean, there's a whole bunch of y'all, and I appreciate all y'all sending the video to me. Okay, so in this video, and Dalton, maybe we can link it up, but in this video, you'll see you don't have a third person, you have a first person perspective. In other words, the person that has their camera, I want to talk about that in a second too, but the person that has the camera is the person getting shot and running back in the house. So you don't have the perspective of law enforcement coming down the street there, and there's APC there, and then there's on foot. There's members of law enforcement, and I cannot tell from the video, is that sheriff's department or police officers? I'm not sure. But they're coming down the street and telling people to get inside their homes. This person seems to be in a front yard or on a front stairs or something like that to the house. And they're shouting to get back in the house. That person doesn't. And then they turn. One of the officers turns, or one of the sheriffs, I don't know the division, turns and they shoot. And you can see in a little bit of the shot, like a green paintball kind of color. So that's what is that the pepper ball? You know, I've seen so much talk about the pepper ball. Is that the pepper ball? Does it have the paint and the and some kind of pepper spray in it? We got to research pepper balls now and learn more about that. But definitely the shots, they turn and they're fired towards the person, and that person's yelling and running back in the house. So I have watched that video. Interesting. I'm going to do this when I have law enforcement folks on, hopefully throughout this week, ask that question. You know, is it that person, do they have to leave? Do they have to go inside their house? Can they be sent back inside their house? On the text line, let's see, a lot here coming in. I'd love to talk to you in person as well at 343-0106. This texter says, yes, curfew will help law enforcement tremendously, in my opinion, as most of these out-of-hand protests happen after dark, even though our last curfew wasn't enforced with so much force. So I don't know how much good it'll do. Yeah, we'll see. And if we did one here, would it be like Birmingham's? I mean, Birmingham thing, what Mayor Woodfin rolled out. Y'all, that's 7 o'clock at night. It's like, go to the grocery store, that's get home from work. That's early. I mean, that's going to obviously needed to attempt to bring some law and order to Birmingham, but that one's going to be tough. Let's see. The pallet of bricks. So Skip's asking about the pallets of bricks. Have I reported on that? I haven't. I've seen pictures. Okay. I've seen pictures of these pallets of bricks that were, at least what they say on social media, these were delivered ahead of time, like premeditated to have bricks for people to throw. I need to see some more of that. I have seen the picture, Skip. And maybe it's true. I've always been cynical, and in the age of social media, I am cynical. I need to get it corroborated more than one place before I go forward. Tim says, I think one of the problems is that everybody's got these cameras now. I mean, the camera's a good thing, but you got people that actually need help, and you got people standing around the video and with the cameras. Tim, well said. And this, we're going to talk about this next hour, okay? Because there's an article out talking about the changes in how stories are reported long-term. Meaning, if you look back to the 60s, and you look at riots, and I mean, even look back to, you know, the Rodney King riots, right? What happened in Los Angeles. You look at that, and you look at the way the story was told through back then, right? So I was a young man watching that, but it was told through the lens of the cameras of the news crews. And that doesn't even mean the news crews were not telling the truth, but they couldn't be everywhere at every time. You had this lens there and this lens there telling part of the story. But now you have people everywhere with cameras telling the story. So I think that that is good because you have video to counter or to add to stories out there. At the same time, Tim, I'm hearing you. When people in our society now, and I've watched this. This could be anything, not just a situation like this, but people are getting hurt. People need help. And the default is to just video and not assist and help out. Tim, I'm with you on that. We'll talk more about that when we return. Phones are open for you at 343-0106.